All right, everybody. Welcome to module 3 for Rescue My Marriage Today, getting back to getting some. We're going to be talking about physical intimacy. We're going to be talking about sexual intimacy.
Why are you looking at me? Because we had an issue with that this weekend?
Yep. We did. So we're going to get into it. I hope you guys are all doing well. I hope you guys are having a great day. Lots of good conversation starting to happen over there on Facebook. Elisa and I reached out to some friends of ours just to, you know, help you guys stay on task, see where you're going, be able to, you know, look back on the little wins that you're having each and every day. So those three questions that we're asking right now, you know, what was your win for yesterday? What are you doing today? And the last one is,
what challenge are you facing right
now? What challenge are you facing now is there for you guys. We're going to do that Monday through Friday. And is there for you guys to be able to look at and see where you're coming, you know, where you're at. So if Friday you're going, man, what have we done this week? If you're posting in there, or maybe you're just doing it on your own journal, which is totally cool, but you have now 4 days to look back and go, okay, we did have some really good wins this week, and this is just a hiccup in the road. We all have them. Believe me, Elise and I have them. So that's what we're going to be doing there. We're going to start off with our wins, and I saw somebody raise their hand. No. Okay.
Just kidding.
All right. So let's start off with some wins, you guys. What's been good for you guys over this last week? You know, we were in module 2. We finished up module 2 last week, talking about communication, emotional intimacy. You guys have been going over module 3, which dropped last week for you guys. We're talking about sex and physical intimacy. So what have been a win or two that you guys experienced over this last week? And it, like I said, if you want to, raise your hand. Or if you want to, throw it in the chat and Lisa and I will read it.
And I'm actually not ignoring you guys. I'm pulling this up on Facebook, just some of the wins that you put in the Rescue My Marriage Today group.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know not everybody gets into the group. And so I want to share.
Or gets onto the call, you mean?
Or both.
Mm-hmm.
So give me just a second here to.
Right on. Mary says, and Lana says, we agreed to start the intimacy lifestyle and started last night. Congratulations to you guys. That is awesome. You know, that is, it's a game changer. So stick with it. You guys are going to learn a ton about each other. Honestly, you guys are. The key, and I'll say this, Elisa and I have been doing this for over 6 years. We still mess up and we still need to go back and sort of touch base with each other when, you know, maybe I feel like I'm starting to initiate a little too much, even on my non-initiating days. So,
and one of the things I want to say about the intimacy lifestyle is that, you know, like Tony talked about when we mess up or when we miss or things like that, the intimacy lifestyle isn't there to hold it over your spouse's head. Like, this is what you agreed to. This is what you're supposed to do. Instead, it becomes that framework, right? It's that structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many areas of our lives outside of marriage are structured that when we come to marriage, we're like, oh, we ought to be able to just wing this. And yet, most of us do pretty well with structure. And right. So don't think of it as something to beat each other up with. Think of it as, we've agreed to this. And if we go off stray, let's just remember what we agreed to and let's just get back on track. Or let's revisit it and have another conversation. Maybe, and Tony and I have done this a few times. We actually, was it like 2 years ago when we tried to reverse our days?
Yeah, that's right. We did that 2 years.
So
it would mess me up completely.
So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday had been Tony's days for years at that point in time. And Wednesday,
about 4 years
and
at
I'm
that
like,
time.
You know, I'd like to have different days. Let's try and change this up. And so we did. And, you know, it's kind of like sleeping on the same side of the bed. You just kind of get into those patterns. And for us, changing it up like that didn't work. But if you guys find yourselves that, you know, it's one of those things where you're just kind of like bumping up and it's like, oh, something's just not quite right, then revisit the conversation to say, okay, what's not working for you? What's not working for me? What do we need to renegotiate? Nothing is set in concrete, right? It's a framework for the two of you to work
love
off
it.
Of.
I'm stoked that you guys are starting it, man. And I can't wait to hear more about it as we continue through Rescue My Marriage Today. So,
another one Melissa put up that she put this up on Facebook. Steve and I talked on the phone a few times instead of texting. So that is our win.
Mm-hmm. Nice one.
That's a huge one because it's so easy to fall into the whole, well, I'm just going to text for everything. And so you lose that intimate connection, which we've talked about both here in Rescue My Marriage. And we just did a show recently about talking over texting and or talking is not texting. I forget what that one was called, but
Let me see.
Yeah, you can look that up for me. But so making that a win is awesome. Mm-hmm. Randall and Natasha walking as a family instead of driving to do things together. And so that really, it slows you down, right? When we're driving, it's always this rush. Like we've got to get here and we've got to get there. Well, when you're on, foot power, and in their case, they've got two little ones. So if you haven't seen the picture on Facebook, it's absolutely adorable of their two little girls, one pulling the other in the wagon. When you're dealing with that and you've got a toddler and a baby thrown into the mix, you're not doing anything fast. So you've got to slow down and you've just got to be in the moment. So that was a huge win. Amaya posted that their win yesterday was Jeremy bringing his choice to light quickly and fully, and her still attending the Hillsong concert in the midst of all that they were going through. So that was another amazing win.
The show that Alisa was alluding to is episode 317, Texting is Not Talking. So we did that about 5 weeks ago at this point. So go jump on that one. If any of you are looking at, wow, we're texting a lot and there's some misinterpretation going on and we're not connecting. Like texting is, it works for certain things, but right now or at certain times, it's just not working. So we dive into, okay, when's texting a good place to be used in your marriage? And when should you just pull away from texting and say, hey, honey, you know what? We need to take this conversation off. So that's episode 317.
A couple more wins. On Monday, Austin posted that he and Bree walked as a family and enjoyed the beautiful day. And Christy mentioned that
she had surgery
on Monday. So we're hoping, Christy, that you are well on the road to recovery.
Yeah.
And she said that we were both very aware of our love, deep connection and support, and that Tony showered her with love and compassion. So some incredible wins. And, we have those available to us because of the fact that you guys are participating in the Facebook group. So we thank you. Mm-hmm. For doing that. So I'm thinking we've read all the wins. If nobody else has got anything, we ought to just jump into this whole how to rekindle your physical and sexual intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm curious because I know this is always kind of a touchy subject when I'm dealing with coaching clients one-on-one. Was this module challenging for any of you? You can just put yes or us or, something in the chat. If there were areas that you found challenging and if you're willing to share what that was, to put it in there, because I know, in our own relationship, we both come from families that did not talk about sex
at all.
Not at all. I mean, your whole sex talk, and we actually just had this with Tony's parents were down a couple weeks ago and we were talking about, the birds and the bees with them, and Tony's dad's like, well, I talked to you about sex. He gets all like, I did that.
He gets like all nostalgic about how he talked to me about sex. And basically it was, and I came straight out and said, it. I was like, hey, don't get a girl pregnant. It wasn't anything more than that. And so it was just funny, his perception of how he talked about sex with me and how I perceived it. He thought there was much more. I didn't think so. Who knows? At the end of the day, there's nowhere near the kind of talking that Elise and I have with our kids and even with ourselves at this point. So,
and what we realize is that there are a lot of folks that haven't ever really talked about their sexual intimacy. Now, Barry and Lana said, we didn't think it was overly challenging, but we've been at this for a long time. Right. Yes, because you guys have been married over 20 years. So you got a little practice
totally
in this area. But I do know that because talking about sex can be, one of those topics that maybe you didn't learn how to talk about in your own family, or maybe maybe it's just never been comfortable. Maybe that's not something that you're like, oh, you know, it's kind of that awkward topic. I just want to say you're married to the person you're having sex with. So you're already getting naked with them physically. Talking about it's just another layer.
Right.
Just another layer. Thank you guys for saying that you still learned a few things though. So what I want to, you know, as we're going through the quick tips, you know, the first one was, you know, just be mindful of the physical interactions. You know, Tony is very much, Tony's very aware of physical touch and whether or not he gets enough touches during the day. Me, physical touch is it your second love language?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't even rate on my love language scale. I mean, it's probably number 5 because I'm just like, okay, you know, if I want a hug and I need a hug, I'll ask for it. But otherwise I'm like, okay, but Tony needs it. So like this week I made a very conscious decision of, you know, we're in church and I'm rubbing his back or I'm sitting next to him and I'm holding his hand or just, you know, being more mindful of that. And what kind of impact does that have on you when I'm more mindful of?
I think any of us who enjoy touch, it's just, even though Elisa doesn't enjoy it as much, she is mindful of it in those physical but non-sexual touches. It just makes me feel like, hey, she heard me, number one. Like, she heard that I enjoy that and is taking thoughtful time to reach out. To me, it's a connection point. It's a, hey, I'm here. I heard you. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I honestly don't take it more than that, other than it's a, I'm here. And for some of you guys and gals there, you may like being hugged. You might like the holding hand when we're walking and being able to share that and let them know that. The other thing is too, as a spouse who maybe you're not so physical touch oriented, you need to also honor your spouse and be like, okay, that's where they receive and they feel that connection. And so that's the challenging point, right? Because Elise and I can get that, because there are times when we will go through dry spells where, as she said, it's not on her radar and it will slip by. And so me being able to say, hey, honey, you know, when we're just driving down the road, if you just put your hand on my arm, it means the world to me. And so that is a constant, it's not a negotiation, but it's a constant reminder, and it's not in a harsh tone or anything like that. It's just like, hey, just as a reminder, babe, I do enjoy this. So it's not something that, I would say we do perfectly all the time. No, I mean, there are definitely times when we're reminding each other of certain things that we do enjoy.
I think, you know, the important thing that you bring up there is that the reminders come in love and not in a harsh tone of voice.
Yeah.
Oh, not yeah. In a demanding, not in a naggy, not in a whiny, just, hey, you know, because it's kind of human nature that when you get reminded of something, you'll do it and you'll do it well for a while. And then you just start to like fall back to your old habits. And so, you know, in these areas that you're working on, agree to remind each other, right? Agree that if you start to see your spouse kind of taking it easy, that you're going to say, you know, that was module 3. Remember when we did that with Tony and Elisa, you know, non-sexual touch, sexual intimacy, the 19 questions, whatever it is. And that way it just, because it's hard to keep everything operating at like 100% level all the time.
Oh yeah. I mean, all of us know that, right? I mean, I think you guys would agree that what we're learning here are skills that we can fall back on when sometimes we just are out of sync. I mean, would you guys agree with that? If so, put yes in there so I know you're hearing me. But, you know, and especially like Barry and Lana, you guys have been married 20 plus years. You guys get it. I mean, there's this ebb and flow that we go through. And the thing is, you know, when they're sort of on the high, everybody's like, yeah, it's great. It's when it starts coming down that everybody starts getting like freaked out. And that's what we're really hoping through this, is that you guys don't get freaked out on the low parts. I mean, you're going, hey, remember when we were doing that? Let's connect there again. Let's get back on track. We were on this awesome journey and we got to this fork on the road, and that fork took us off a whacked out path, and we just need to get back on. Like, we just need to get back over, you know, this mountain or these weeds, and let's get back on that track to where we were. Elise and I are there, you know, listen to this week's show talking about initiating sex.
Perfect timing for this module.
Right. I mean,
and that wasn't even planned.
No. And that was episode 322. So for those of you.
So the first worksheet was all on physical intimacy, talking about, you know, why is touch so important? Right? Because you've heard it a million times. I think I even said it in the video, you know, your skin is your largest organ. And so it requires maintenance, right? It requires touch. We need that for our sense of well-being. We need it to help against depression. We need it for, you know, relieving sadness and relieving tension and even reducing irritability and things like that. There are definitely different touches that can help with that. And so as you were going through this, you know, we were asking you to think about that first time that the two of you touched, right? You know, those first kiss or the first time you held hands and just kind of that, like, I can tell you to this day, you know, our first kiss, you know, and it was on my 20th birthday and we were standing in the kitchen at Tony's friend's house and, you know, he walks across the kitchen. It was that whole like, eyes are locked. I know he's coming in for the kiss, right? Like you just know it's coming in. And I remember that first kiss.
Yeah.
That was almost 22 years ago.
Right.
Right. And, you know, a lot of you remember the first time you held hands and just kind of that electricity that went between the two of you. And so, you know, sometimes when you go back to those first moments, you start bringing that energy, that positive energy, that excitement into wherever you are today and really focusing on touch.
Let's talk this through though, too, is that, you know, a lot of us get a bad rap because what ends up happening too, is that when we get that physical touch, that non-sexual physical touch, the hold, the hand holding, the hugs, pats on the butt, whatever it may be, we take it to the next step. Then our spouse doesn't want to go there. And I don't know about you guys, but that's a fine line that we walk.
Oh yeah.
You know, and an understanding. So like for Barry and Lana, taking the intimacy or adding the intimacy lifestyle to your marriage, you guys are going to start sensing that, hey, we're sexually being connected. So when we are physically just touching each other, that's all it's about. You know, for me personally, when Elisa touches me, like when we're just driving down the road and she just touches me, it's just an acknowledgement. It's like, hey, I'm here, honey, because sexually we're there. Right.
Right. And that's, you know, in the second worksheet on non-sexual touch, I mean, we talk about that a little bit about the fact that your marriage needs both, right? You need to have sexual intimacy, sexual touch, that touch, which is going to lead to some kind of sexual intimacy. And you need to have the non-sexual touch, the touch that just says, hey, I know you're here, right? I like touching you. I like, you know, rubbing your arm. I like holding hands with you. I like, you know, cuddling on the couch. I like sleeping naked. And what I will tell you, because I know what I hear from a lot of folks is, well, every time I touch my spouse, he or she thinks it's going to lead to sex. The reason for that is because the two of you are not touching often enough. I will tell you, that's why. Because they're so starved for any type of intimacy that if you feel, and we had this season in our marriage. Mm-hmm. It was after our daughter was born, two little kids. I'm like surrounded by kids all day long. I'm taking care of kids all day long. And Tony would be like, what about me? What about me? I'm like, no time for you. Right. Like, and so he would touch and touch. And I'm just finally like, I get to the point where I would just roll my eyes and be like, I guess you need sex. Not the most romantic thing.
No.
I've ever said. No. Not the most romantic feeling I've ever conveyed in my marriage, but that's what I felt like. Right. Cause all of the touch that would be non-sexual, just, you know, a pat on my bottom felt sexual to me. That was my perception. Right? Wasn't necessarily, Tony was just trying to touch me. Tony was just trying to say, do I matter to you? But because at that point in time, I equated every touch that we had with sex, I just figured, oh, this guy just needs more sex. And then I start to get resentful. Like, why is it that every time you touch me, you want sex? And that was my thinking. Let me be very clear. That was my thinking. That wasn't necessarily what Tony was thinking. Mm-hmm. Tony just wanted connection. But I misinterpreted that because of the rejection that I was bringing in by not touching him at all. Yeah. And so that's where, you know, and that's why the non-sexual and the sexual touch all come in this area of rekindling your intimacy, because a healthy marriage has both, right? If you have only sexual touch and you don't take care of the non-sexual needs, then it becomes very lopsided. If you have only the non-sexual touch and the two of you never have sexual intimacy, it's still very lopsided, right? A healthy marriage has both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We hear from so many folks, and this is, I'm telling you guys, this is a tough topic and why we're just honored to be in here and be able to talk to you guys. So please ask your questions. No question is not, what's the word I want to say? Not warranted. I mean,
well, everything's important.
Everything's important. Yeah. And if you want to chat and don't want to show it to everyone, you can just put to all panelists, which is Elisa and I, and just chat directly to us and just say, don't say my name. And we can answer these questions, because I really want this time to be a place where we can be open and honest and real, because I'll tell you, you guys are special because you're here and we're talking about a topic that a lot of people just do not want to talk about openly, honestly, they just don't. And so I really want us to be able to answer your questions here tonight, because I don't want you to be leaving here going, man, I really wish I would have asked that question of Tony and Elisa. And I know, because we're talking about sex and physical intimacy, not everybody wants to be like, oh, this is us. This is where we're at. Mm-hmm. Totally get it. So just chat to us and to all panelists, which is Elisa and I, and we'll be able to read it and we can keep those anonymous, which is totally cool, because this is a big part of our marriage. And if we can come together as we talk about, non-sexual touches and the 19 questions, if we can come together in this area, it's amazing what happens. It truly is amazing, that connection, the openness that begins to happen, the walls that begin to get shed and released. And you don't have a spouse who's either husband or wife who's just like, let's just get this over with, let's just get it over with. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't know about you guys, but when Elisa was doing that in our marriage, man, was it just rough and tough. And I just felt like, then why are we even together? Right? Why are we even together? And that's where, 60 Days of Sex Challenge came in, the intimacy lifestyle, the 7 days of sex challenge. That's where all these deals started coming in, where we were challenging the 19 questions. You guys got stuff that we used ourselves many, many years ago to open up this area to allow us to connect. Because I will tell you, more times than not, what we see come across our email is spouses, one or the other, just isn't interested at all, doesn't want to talk about it, has shut down in this area, and an affair happens, either emotional or a physical affair, because the other spouse is looking somewhere else.
So, there are a lot of different worksheets in this module. This is probably going to be the biggest module that you guys will see in terms of the worksheets. And I want to make sure, obviously I could read them all to you again, but I did that in the videos, or Tony did that in the videos. So what questions, what areas, and maybe it's not a question, but if there's a specific section of a worksheet that you guys want us to dig deeper into, honestly, because we can't cover everything and still give you guys time to do your lives, right? We could have easily built out, I think, twice as many worksheets and videos.
And I would even say, as you've gone through it, is there an area that we missed? Is there a section where you're going, hey, Tony and Elisa, how about this area? Because you guys are, again, you guys are special. You're here in the pilot program. You're able to assess what we've done and go, hey, you know what? Here's an area that we've had difficulty with. What is your suggestion? Believe me, we've heard everything. And for us, I think this is what, 8-9 videos long, this module. We also want to be, cognizant of your time and how much you're putting in. We want you to be able to get through and not feel overwhelmed and not do anything. So, but we can always put in more if you guys feel that there's some areas that we need to touch on.
So we're just looking through some of these worksheets, while you guys are thinking about what exactly is it that I'd want to ask, or what areas did you guys not cover that I think should be included in here? Because that's always a key one. Is, well, the one I what I want to go to, because we actually just had this whole change in our own lives this past weekend, is your bedroom being a sanctuary. And, you know, one of the quick tips was to go in and see what's got to go in your bedroom, to see what it's going to take to make your room that place. And maybe it's not your bedroom. I mean, for most couples, it is their bedroom, because they can shut the door. And if they've got kids, they can put a lock on it and keep the kids out, and it's all good. For us, we actually just had our bedroom completely redone. Tony was away at a men's conference this past weekend. The interior designer came in. He comes back, and it's a completely different bedroom. And it wasn't like she completely overhauled the bedroom. I mean, she kept all of our existing stuff. She added some furniture. She added some mirrors, some lighting. But the feel of it now is so different. It feels like we thought we had it pretty good before she came, right? But now it's like, it's one step better. It's probably like 10 steps better, to be truthful. But really thinking about, what does your bedroom say to the two of you, if that's the place that you've chosen as your sanctuary? What does that feel like? Does it feel like a place that the two of you want to go to? Is it comfortable? Is it, you know, a place where you're not distracted by the piles of laundry? You're not distracted by the computer in the corner? You're not distracted by, you know, the kids' toys all over the place? You know, your bedroom, your sanctuary absolutely needs to be a place where the two of you can get not just physically naked, because we want you naked in your bedroom, you know, but also emotionally naked. That safe place where the two of you can have those conversations, you know, away from everybody else. So I'm curious, what item, as you were like looking at your bedroom this past week, what item had to go out of the bedroom? I know for us, the big thing that came out was the exercise ball. We had like one of those like giant exercise balls.
But it went to our closet.
Yeah, but it's not in the bedroom.
Oh, okay.
I needed a place to store it. But it's not like rolling around in our bedroom now.
That's true.
Right?
That's
like true. You walk in, you're like, oh, exercise ball. Partly because it's just big. But, you know, so all of you that made it through that worksheet, which would have been the, I think, the eighth one, what left your room this week?
Or what did you add to it that, you know, spiced it up, made it more of that sanctuary? One thing that we've added over time, a salt lamp, which is awesome because the glow off of a salt lamp is, you know, that is, hold on, just see that.
Yeah, we just got a note, guys, that popped up on our side that said our internet connection is unstable. If this cuts out for just a second, know that we will come back on.
And it'll take us all on, but it looks like we're good. So, I was going to just say the salt lamp, awesome. You can get them on Amazon. They're great. We'll add that actually to the resources so you guys can check those out. One, two of them. It's a really cool lighting in the room. It's a very soft hue that just allows you to not have the bright lights on and not have nothing on. So it's a great in between. Yeah, love this. See, you guys are on board. I love you guys. Gosh darn it. You guys are awesome.
And the laundry's moving out of your bedroom too.
Yes. And the laundry is, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, laundry. Laundry, I will say, is a constant battle.
Because it's constantly getting dirty and it's constantly getting clean.
There are just things I'm going to tell you guys that just don't get worked up about. I mean, laundry is piling up, just fold it. I mean, there's nothing more you can do. I used to honestly, and this is just me just not like understanding where we're at, but I would just see laundry just pile up and I'd just be like, well, Elisa needs to just take care of it. And it would just pile up. And I'd be like, oh, Lisa just needs to take care of it. And it just pile up. Finally, one day I realized like I have two hands and I can just start folding or at least put stuff into piles and, you know, move stuff into the kids' room so that they can take their stuff, put a pile for Elisa so she can fold her stuff and I just fold my stuff. I mean, stuff like that in your bedroom, don't let it derail you. I mean, it would just derail me like, oh gosh, this and that. Now I just, okay. And if it's there and I haven't done anything with it, then I just need to deal with it. I can't really, you know, get on Elisa for that anymore because I can do it. Christine said, put a curtain over the closet space where a door should be. Now, Yes. Doesn't that make it feel so much better? We've been there.
We have. And I love that because it's amazing how just having something to block your view just makes it feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just like, okay.
Who wants to have sex and you're looking up and you're looking into your closet with all your clothes hanging and maybe even shove the laundry in there because you just don't want to see it, because we do that. I mean, we'll raise our hand. We'll shove all our laundry in the closet, close the door, be done with it. So kudos. Love it.
That's awesome. And it's funny. One of the things, so when the interior designer staged our room, she put in a couple of picture frames and one of them says family. Well, going all the way back to the 60 Days of Sex Challenge, Tony and I made a decision that we would never have family pictures.
Well, it's not that we would have, we'd have pictures of us.
Right. Not like the entire family.
We just wouldn't have pictures of like the kids in our bedroom because for us, it just, I don't need my kids. I don't need my mom. I don't need my dad like on my dresser looking at me while I'm having sex with Elisa. That's just us. Call us a little weird. Hey, but
it's interesting though, because we did have a couple. They're actually quoted, I think, in Stripped Down. Mm-hmm. Where they, when we first shared this idea with them, this is what, 7 or 8 years ago, they had pictures of like grandma and grandpa and the aunts and uncles and everything on the dresser, mm-hmm. and didn't realize how much it was impacting them until the first time that they just kind of took those picture frames out of the bedroom while they were having sex. And then they subsequently removed everybody that wasn't the two of them out of the bedroom. Yeah. And it's not that you can't celebrate family, but what I was going with this is, you know, we've got these empty picture frames and Tony's like, okay, within the next week, can you just put pictures in them? I don't want to look at this empty picture frame for more than a week. Yeah, but again, it's just setting that mood.
Right.
And saying, okay, for 1 week, we can deal with this. For, you know, going on and on, kind of like the piles of laundry. We got to do something.
Right.
Right. And these changes, guys, you know, to creating the intimate space for the two of you, it's all just baby steps. Mm-hmm. Right. It's all just saying, you know, what can I do today to rekindle the physical intimacy? What can I do to rekindle the sexual intimacy? I mean, one of the things that I didn't read in the wins, but Melissa had put in the Facebook group, was that her action item for today was that she was going to give Steve a hug. Mm-hmm. And I think they're still on. So I would love to know if Steve got a hug today. So if you can put that in the chat, because that was her action item. Right. And so it's one of those things where, you know, you start building the intimacy in baby steps. You don't suddenly go from no physical or sexual intimacy to just wild and crazy, like we're having sex all the time. I can't get enough of you. I'm hanging all over you. I touch you all the time. That's not going to happen. That's just crazy talk. It doesn't happen. But that's movies. That's Hollywood, right? The two of you building your physical and sexual intimacy happens in baby steps. It happens in, you know, a hand on the arm. It happens in, nope, it's still not midnight.
Right.
I'm just saying, you guys, even if you guys are on the East Coast, it's only 9:34. Oh. So unless he's not in town, I'm just saying. You got like 2.5 hours if you're on the East Coast. But, you know, you do those steps and you just say, you know, I'm going to do, and I know I've said this to you guys, but I'm going to say it again. You'll probably hear it every week and at least in one of the videos each week. You don't wait for your feelings to change to start taking action, right? You can't, because your feelings are fickle, right? So you've got to take the actions. You've got to say, you know what, if my husband or my wife needs a hug every day, then okay, I'm going to do a hug. Mm-hmm. If my husband needs me to put my hand on his leg when he's driving to feel secure in our marriage, I mean, is it really that hard for me to do it? No, it's not, right? If taking the laundry out of my bedroom makes it feel better, then leave it on top of the washer, right? If that's going to promote the sexual intimacy, then don't bring the laundry into your bedroom until you're ready to put it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hide it in the closet, shove it under somewhere else. You know, let the kid, you know, give that the kids that job and just say, you know, this is your responsibility. You do the laundry. You know, but take whatever action you need to take, because as you start adding these steps up, adding these little actions, all of a sudden you realize, you turn around, you look back and you're like, oh, we're not where we were, right? We might not be where we want to go or where we think we're going yet. Like, we haven't gotten there, but we're so much farther along That's what I love about you guys posting in the Facebook group about what you're working on, because you can look back and you can say, okay, this is an area that I'm working on. This is an area that I'm trying to make better. This is, you know, it's like when you're dealing with high desire and low desire in the marriage, right? Somebody that wants to have sex more than the other person is high desire. Somebody that wants to have sex less than the other person, that's low desire, right? The fact of the matter is that you have to navigate that in your marriage. We do. Hmm. I'm the low desire spouse. I honestly would have sex a lot less than we do, but you know what? I enjoy sex with Tony. It's good. And so that's where, you know, and Barry and Lana mentioned the intimacy lifestyle. That's where I committed to the intimacy lifestyle. Do I always feel it? No, I don't. Truth. But I always take the action. Not always. Most of the time, I take the action. I won't say always. Always and never get you into trouble. More often than not.
Yeah.
I do. And when I don't, there's a conversation about that. It doesn't just get ignored.
Right.
Right? Because that's what has to happen in your marriage. You have to get to the point where you're not ignoring your sexual intimacy, because too many couples ignore their sexual intimacy, expecting that it's going to miraculously change. Your sexual intimacy will change when you take action to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what? Something I think we should discuss, and we didn't bring it up in this, in the modules though, is body image. Mm. You know, I think that's something that each and every one of us can understand and have possibly dealt with in some way or somehow in our marriage. And I think that's something that maybe we just even discuss slightly, just even now, and maybe we can go into it a little bit more on another video. But, you know, we're changing, right? I mean, we're changing as we grow older, and, mm-hmm. and kids come for you guys and for us, age.
We've had kids.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that change that happens, and how do we as a couple address that, you know, at different stages?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, part of that, there was the one worksheet.
Am I tracking? Is anybody tracking with me on that one? Because I feel that body image, even, you know, you guys may see us and you may see me and go, well, geez, Tony, how do you have a body image issue? Yeah, I'm not going to lie, man. There are definitely days when I'm like, gosh, man, I should probably start working out a little bit harder, a little bit more, eating a little better. But that's me and in my mind. And so, I mean, we've heard this from other couples as well.
We got an email today.
Yeah, that, you know, this is a big place where they don't even feel comfortable in their own skin. So that, you know, being that way really is a detraction from even wanting to take off one's clothes, even be sexually intimate mm-hmm. with their spouse.
Well, and it's, you know, your body image starts with you. And how do you feel about yourself? You know, dressed? How do you feel about yourself naked? What are the messages that you're telling yourself? What are the messages that you're receiving?
Mm-hmm.
Because all of those different components play into your physical and sexual intimacy. You know, the more physically attractive that you feel, the more sexually attractive that you feel, the more you're going to convey that to your spouse. And trust me, whether you're saying it or not, and this is not the ESP thing, this is, you know, the body language and the signals that you're giving off, you give off information about how you're feeling to your spouse. Sometimes that information says, don't touch me with a 10-foot pole. Sometimes that information says, I can't wait to have you as close as possible, right? It's we're not talking ESP here. We're talking about, you know, body language that says, yeah, come and give me a hug,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you slip into bed completely naked. Or in my case, at least with still a shirt on, because I don't like to have my shoulders cold. Where I'm like,
so that we would call semi naked.
We call that semi naked, but it works. In our marriage, it works.
Yeah.
And it's getting warmer here in Southern California, so you know I can tell. In fact, I had that thought the other day. I'm like, oh, it's definitely getting warmer. I'm leaving, you know, less of my pajamas. Yeah. But you know, there were years where I was not comfortable in my own skin. After both of our kids, like my metabolism sped up, which most people wouldn't think was a bad thing, except that I got to the point where I couldn't eat enough to even put weight on. So I went from, you know, nice, cute, pregnant body to losing more weight, I would lose on average an additional 20 pounds off my pre-pregnancy weight with both kids. And so I got to the point where I was literally skin and bones and just felt so unattractive, because I would look in the mirror and I'd be like, I look like a skeleton with skin stretched over. And in doing that, you know, that was at that really low point in our marriage when Tony and I were very disconnected. And the reason for that was because I didn't feel attractive to him. I didn't feel like I looked good in the mirror. And it wasn't until, you know, with doctors and with just, you know, eventually after about 3 years, my metabolism seemed to reset itself.
And just nutrition. We were doing nutrition, a lot.
But even it was just a weird 6 years in our lives with the two kids and you know, taking about 3 years. But, you know, coming out of that is when things started to shift for us. But I had to regain control of my health. And that wasn't something that Tony could do. I mean, Tony never, you know, Tony's mom one time did say, "You're not looking so healthy." She actually said she cut me out of a picture. I have a great relationship with my mother-in-law, but that was the one moment where I was like, "Oh," but that was, and it didn't surprise me because I felt like that too. I'm like, "Well, I'd cut myself out of the pictures," but there were things that I had to do myself to change how I felt, and I had to get myself into a position where I felt attractive to Tony. Now, he never said anything to me. He never said, I mean, when Tony met me, I was like 20 pounds on the other side. Because we met in college and we were both doing the late night eating, drinking thing. We were like getting straight A's in that.
Yes.
So we've seen each other in all different weight stages. Mm-hmm. We've seen each other, you know, we have a podcast called Are Those Real? I made the option, 7 years ago now, I think, to have implants. And that was not anything that Tony, you know, from a body image standpoint, that was not anything that Tony had ever said. I think you need to have bigger breasts. I think, you know, that was not him. It all came from me. And it is something that we've disclosed to our children. They were young at the time, but they know that I did this. They know why, they know when, they know all the details, because I had to be comfortable with that decision myself. And I think, you know, when you've got body image issues, you've got to figure out what's behind that. You've got to figure out, what am I struggling with? And you've got to take action within whatever that struggle is, right? Because if you're struggling with something, I will tell you, you will take that into your physical and sexual intimacy with your spouse, and they're going to pick up on that vibe. Mm-hmm. They're going to pick up on the fact, you know, if you're always coming to bed and, you know, the only time that you have sex is when the lights are off and you shimmy out of your clothes, you're like naked together for, you know, 30 seconds. And then the minute it's over, you grab your robe or you grab your clothes and you put them back on. You're like, "I'm done. Snooze, roll over. Don't touch me." Your spouse knows.
Right.
They do, you know? And so it's figuring out, where are my areas? You know, if you want to lose weight, then is it a nutrition plan? Is it exercise? Is it, you know, making different eating choices? Is it seeing a doctor? You know, one of the things we talk in here were some of the medical things. Do you need to go see a doctor? Right. And if you do, stop putting it off. Okay.
And if you don't like normal medical doctors, there are many, you know.
So you're talking like Western medicine.
Yeah. I mean, there are many ways to go alternative. If you don't like going to hospitals and stuff, I mean, even Elise and I, we actually, you know, interview doctors and just go to them. And not go through hospitals or doctor's offices, because we do cash and we just pay them and we get better service. Honestly, you know, we'll get an hour with the doctor instead of 15 minutes because we want our questions and our concerns answered. So that might be something. One of the books we put up on the module page is Taking Charge of Your Fertility, which
every married couple should have this book.
It's Taking Charge of Your Fertility, which most guys will be like, "Okay, that's for my wife." No, not really. It's amazing what you will find and learn in that book. And actually, over the last 2 days, I've actually mentioned it to two husbands, which has been interesting, because I was like, you guys got to understand what's going on. And sometimes, you know, our spouse, our wives, they don't know how to articulate what's going on. They're trying their best, and yet they're having a difficult time. They're having a struggle. So that is a book I would recommend to all husbands. Pick it up, read it. Wives, pick it up, read it. It's called Taking Charge of Your Fertility. Again, it's in the modules in the resource section
there. And the reason this book is so important is because, you know, obviously a key component of, you know, a woman's sexual intimacy is where she is in her cycle.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you know, women, where you are in your cycle, and husbands, if you know where your wife is in her cycle, it's going to change your sexual intimacy.
Totally, right? Totally.
Because right around ovulation, a woman's body is literally primed to receive a man. Everything from you know, the pheromones, the scents that we're giving off, to vaginal lubrication, to, you know, just kind of the hormones rushing through our brain and making us more open and things like that. So I will tell you that right around ovulation is our most adventuresome time of the month in terms of our sexual intimacy.
Yep.
Without a doubt.
And bonus days are added in.
Bonus days. Yeah. Usually around there, because I'm just like, I'm game for anything within our reason.
Within
our parameters. You know, right before my cycle, you know, things get a little less adventuresome, right? You know, coming out of getting my period. You know, and so we know, you know, Tony knows. I'm like, okay, I'm about to get my period. And so it's like, okay, you know, and he starts calculating, you know, 12 days and here we go. And you know, it's not this big mystery. Okay. Right. You know, women, if you're still getting your period, your husband knows you get your period. Okay. He knows. And men, she gets her period. So, okay, now we've established, everybody knows. So let's not keep it a secret. Let's talk about where we are in the cycle and say, okay. What
are you thinking? No, there's another book I want to mention to them.
You're talking about Where Did My Wife Go?
Poppy.
Yeah, I'm not sure where all our books are now.
All right.
But I can, we'll post it. So it's one of those things where it's just like taking the blinders off of all these areas of sexual intimacy and marriage. You know, the women's cycle is a part of your sexual intimacy. Why? Because, you know, for some of you, there are weeks, you know, there's a week or so, 5 to 7 days, where maybe you aren't having sex. Like, we don't have sex when I'm on my period. It's just not something that works for me. Now, some couples don't care. And you guys talk about that and you work it out and it's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some women around ovulation can actually have some cramping. And they're like, okay, you know what? This is not a good day for me. Right? Those of you that are practicing natural family planning as a means of birth control, you have those conversations. And so around ovulation, you're like, we either are because we're trying to have a baby, or we're not going to have sex because we're not trying to have a baby.
Right.
Again, conversation, right? Your period, your cycle does not have to be this big mystery that nobody talks about in your marriage, because your sex life will improve if you know what's going on, right? This is HOPP. I think it's Diana. So that's a great book to bring up. And it's called Taking Charge of Your Fertility. It was actually recommended to me by an acupuncturist.
Okay. And here's another one. And I will put this in our resource section as well. Healthy Sex Drive, Healthy You, What Your Libido Reveals About You. Another awesome book to read and understand, you know, where's your sex drive? Where's that libido? And as I'm saying it, I'm like, you know what? I need to read this myself again. Diane, she's a doctor. I want to say she's an OBGYN, if I'm correct. She is an OBGYN. And she is awesome at just talking about this. Again, more for the women, but again, for us guys, we need to learn and understand what's going on. We can't just, you know, put our heads in the sand and go, we don't understand it. We're in a time when we can get this information and be able to sort of sift through what may be happening. And I would recommend, obviously, wives reading it too, you know. And then there is another book. There's one last book about
Where Did My Wife Go?
Yes.
Menopause?
Yes.
Yes. Where Did My Wife Go? That's another book we'll put in the resources.
Yeah. And that's for those of you who, you know, are going through menopause. This is from a husband's point of view. Another great read for those of you who are going through that or embarking on that and the challenges that you may be facing when it comes to your physical and sexual intimacy during this period. So hopefully what we're sharing though today is, and what we continue to share here in Rescue My Marriage today, are a lot of, again, tips, skills, action steps that you can take so you guys don't lose touch. You don't lose connection. You don't fade away because menopause is coming. Because guess what? It is coming.
No shocker.
It's just the truth. Us men, as we get older, let me share with you, our libidos, you know, tend to start waning, or the high desire spouse, those libidos start waning because of all the hormones and testosterone that start to dip in our lives. And so in maybe even if you're a 50-odd year old man, you know, maybe you've taken on positions at work that you didn't have when you were 20, right? Now you're a manager. Maybe you're a director, a senior VP. Maybe you're CEO of a company or your own company. And so those impact our lives as well. And so we want to just be truthful and honest and open with you guys and let you know that these are things that we hear about all the time. It's things that we face. I mean, I'm sitting here at 42, almost 43 going, yeah, these are some real challenges that I'm already looking at in my own life going, okay, where are we? How does that impact how Elise and I are physically and sexually intimate?
Absolutely. So as we've been going through this, are there any questions that come to mind that we haven't addressed? We don't ever want to get off. I mean, we're coming up here on the hour. We don't ever want to get off without answering your questions. We don't want you to get off and the call and say, oh, I should have just asked them, or why didn't I ask them? Again, you can always put that in the Q&A. If you don't want anyone else to see the question, and we'll read that anonymously. If there were areas, you know, when it comes to rekindling your physical and sexual intimacy, there are some areas that you're probably thinking, what are some of the other topics that you decide? Okay. I will actually say that was almost like reading my mind, because I was going to, I was just going to share with you some of those, and they're actually going to show up in the final module. Because it's all of those other factors, you know, specifically other people that didn't take your vows, but some of the other factors. So, you know, some of the other areas include infidelity, emotional, and physical affairs. So those other people, this is why it's going to come in module 7. You know, who are those people that you're getting more connected to that you shouldn't be, either physically or emotionally? The other topic specifically that we did not put in here, partly because we'd already built out, I think, 9 of the worksheets or 8 of the worksheets at that time, was the impact of pornography. Mm-hmm. And we could probably dedicate an entire module to pornography. It is, and I'm actually, since I'm mentioning it and Barry and Lana asked the question, I am going to touch on it a little bit right now. There is a lie out there that pornography does not hurt marriage, that that doesn't impact, you know, it doesn't impact men, it doesn't impact women. I will tell you wholeheartedly that is a lie. We have had pornography in our own marriage. Tony came into our marriage having started viewing pornography when he was 12. And it most definitely, those years when I felt like I was just a body that he was touching, part of that was because he was still looking at pornography. And so there were times when I was literally a warm body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for those of you who are viewing pornography, and it can be men or women, and again, we will take some of this into module 7, just those other factors, those other things that didn't say I do. Pornography did not take your vows with you. The women or men that you're viewing in pornography did not take your vows, so they have no place in your marriage, and that's why they're getting included there. You know, it's one of those things where you are replacing your spouse with someone or something else. Mm-hmm. And that will always, 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 and yes, I'm emphasizing the always, that will always detract from your physical and sexual intimacy. It will always hurt someone in your marriage. It will always make someone feel less than.
And whenever I'm talking to men, I will tell you guys straight up, when I'm talking to men and they're giving me sort of a lowdown of what's going on, I can pretty much tell and ask, I'll be like, so how long you been looking at pornography and are you still looking at it? And more times than not, it's been for many, many years. And yes, they still are. And they're wondering why their spouse is being disconnected. Now, this also is not just a men or a husband's issue. There are many wives. I brought Elisa into that. We used to read something, or what was it?
Letters.
Penthouse Letters. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I brought her into that. So it was also starting to skew her mind and where she was viewing how we were being sexually intimate as well. So there are wives who are also, you know, engaged in pornography. It could even be what's the books? Erotica, mm-hmm. which is typically where more the women are going, or they're going more erotica because it's mind stimulating. Where us men, we're going to visual, so we're going to pictures and video. So
think 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
so that was one. What was another?
Well, the emotional and physical infidelity.
Right.
And you know, just I mean, those were the big three that we didn't include, partly because, we're respectful of your time. And honestly, if we put those three in here, just because the build out on the worksheets is so intense that, mm-hmm. It would just be a lot.
Yeah.
And it was a lot even for us as we were trying to, we're like, okay, what can we cover, in a week? What's respectful of your time? What are those areas? And pornography definitely impacts your sexual intimacy. It impacts how the two of you connect. Emotional and physical affairs impact how the two of you connect. And that's a whole separate piece on rebuilding trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, restoring your marriage, you know, rebuilding your marriage, rescuing your marriage. You know, for a lot of you, there is a component of broken trust. And that plays out in how the two of you are physically and sexually intimate, because someone who has been hurt, it can be very challenging for them to open up. Both emotionally and physically. And so that potentially for some of you listening right now or listening to the replay, that's an area in your marriage where you're struggling with. And, you know, don't think we're not, just because it wasn't in this module, don't think it's going to be avoided. Don't think we're going to get through the next 4 weeks without talking about broken trust, without talking about those other people. We will. It's, as we do this, knowing that you guys are going through this week by week, we just have to be sensitive to what is feasible in terms of all of the videos, all of the worksheets, mm-hmm. and also your attendance on the call. So,
yeah. And I'm just going to put in one last thing and then we'll shut this thing down, for tonight, is that when it comes to your sexual intimacy, if you're stuck, don't hesitate to get on with Elisa and do a call. For all Rescue My Marriage Today owners, we have a discounted price to get on a call. What we find out is that because it is a touchy topic for a lot of people, you know, I just want to say, you guys are fortunate. You're talking to us. We enjoy talking about it. I talk to folks all the time and I still get people like wide-eyed and backing away from me like, whoa, where are we going? So I want you guys to know that we're here to discuss it more individually for where you may be, right? So if there's a place where you feel just it's stuck, there needs to be some action taken. There needs to be some sort of strategy that you guys can start putting together so that you can be, you know, the physical, non-sexual touches and then the sexual intimacy. Just hit up Elisa and I. We can get you a link to that with the discount code. And that way you can start diving deeper into this, because there are sections where it's just like, I need to share this openly and honestly, with somebody that understands what I'm going through. And that would be Elisa for sure. So
Barry and Lana, since you asked the question, were there any other topics that you felt, or anybody else still on the call that you felt should be included in this module? And the reason I ask is because it's always good mm-hmm. for us to hear what we may have left out.
Right. And if you're listening to this on the replay, email us.
Email us, or I'll put a cool question tomorrow in the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making a note of that right now. When you guys see me look down like this, that's why.
Yeah, that's totally cool. All right. Are there any other questions, guys?
Thank you. I'm glad you. I see your comment there.
Awesome. Yeah. Are there any other questions? Don't hesitate. We're going to continue putting those three questions in Facebook group. Answer them. Answer them. And again, if you don't answer them there, do it in your own journal. We need to get to a point where we're putting those things down. Like I said, I typically do this on Mondays for myself. It's sort of my download week where I just am able to write things down. And it's interesting as I go back through that journal to see where I've been and where I'm going in different areas of my life. So it's really cool to have that. So with that being said, we love you guys. Great session. Come with your wins.
Wonderful.
Come with your wins. Come with your questions. Let's go. Let's encourage each other as well. You guys have a lot of knowledge. You guys do. You guys have experienced marriage from, you know, those of you who've been in a few years to those of you who've been 20 plus, a lot. And you can share within, even like if somebody's saying something, don't hesitate to go back and maybe even direct them to a video that maybe you remember or a worksheet that they can get into. You guys are way knowledgeable and your insights are needed because it lets others know that they're not alone and that there are other couples who also understand them. Because again, I was at my men's retreat. Believe me, I was with 700 men. There was a theme throughout what most men are dealing with and struggling with at times. It was mind-boggling at times. So I just want to share that. Module 4 is dropping. So that will be up and ready here shortly. We'll get the replay up in module 3. That's it. That's it. We love you guys. Have a great week. If you need us, hit us up, rmmtquestion@oneextraordinarymarriage.com, Facebook group, wherever you need to get us, do it. You're welcome. You're welcome. I want to hear more about, you guys need to be telling us about the intimacy lifestyle. That's your win. Keep telling us about how it goes. Love you guys. Have a great one.